السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. سبحان الله. I was reflecting on what to share in this blessed night, and I was thinking about the standards that the Prophet ﷺ held himself to. So, you know, obviously I've been prepping for Ibad al-Rahman, and that's sort of the session that I do every night, you know, going through the qualities of Ibad al-Rahman and these high standards. And it's really beautiful, because every time you come to a description of Ibad al-Rahman, the Prophet ﷺ is the ultimate Abd al-Rahman, the ultimate, you know, manifestation of those qualities and those characteristics that we're coming across. But it was really interesting to me, as I was thinking about the most frequent dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I wouldn't be surprised if someone's already covered it. So if someone has, then inshallah ta'ala you'll appreciate another dimension of this. The most frequent dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Ya muqallib al qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. O turner of hearts, make my heart firm on your path. If there was any person that would not have to worry about his heart losing stability, it would be the man who, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a child, Jibreel alayhi salam came to him, took his heart out, pulled something from his heart, and said, "Hadha hadhu shaytani mink," that this is the portion of evil within you. Cast it from the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, washed it in Zamzam, and put it back into the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that there was makhit, there was stitching on the chest of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the surgery of Jibreel alayhi salam to remove from the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam any type of evil. If there was any person that would not have to worry about inqilab al-qalb, the turning of the heart away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who stood up night after night, begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his pleasure, his forgiveness, for his mercy, expressed gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, suffered in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the day, his feet exhausted from all that he went through during the day, marching in the path of Allah, his feet swelling up and bleeding at night, standing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who would be safer than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the turning of the heart? And the answer to that is absolutely no one. And so the fact that that's the mark of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of his dua is fascinating. And then I connected to another hadith where the mark of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a gathering in terms of his dhikr was what? The mark of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a gathering in terms of his dhikr was not tasbih. It wasn't that he would say subhanallah plentiful, though he would sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but that wasn't the mark of the Prophet ﷺ on a gathering. The mark of the Prophet ﷺ was not saying Alhamdulillah numerous times throughout a gathering. The mark of the Prophet ﷺ was not takbirat throughout a gathering. The mark of the Prophet ﷺ was istighfar, was seeking forgiveness. He used to, ﷺ, in one sitting, say, Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim, aw astaghfirullah al-azim alladhi la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh. He used to say it over 100 times in one sitting, in the midst of conversation, between his sentences, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while listening to his companions, alayhi salatu wasalam. And you would think that that is a man that must have a past, right? To make that much istighfar, because our notion of istighfar is that a person makes istighfar due to their distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the istighfar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an istighfar out of a feeling of taqsir, a feeling of ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatik, ma qadarnaka haqqa qudratik. Oh Allah, we did not give you your proper qadr, your proper estimation. Ma qadarullah haqqa qadrihi. They did not give Allah his proper estimation. We did not worship you as much as you deserve to be worshipped. There was deficiency, ya Allah, in our ibadah. You would think that the Prophet ﷺ had issues in his qiyam because of how much istighfar he made. But the only issue of the qiyam of the Prophet ﷺ was how lengthy the qiyam of the Messenger ﷺ was. as he would worship Allah until Aisha radiallahu anha, when she mentions the bleeding of the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said, why do you do this when Allah has forgiven you from your previous and your future sins? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, shall I not be a grateful slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This tells you something about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still an example for us in every single way possible, even when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not commit the sins that we commit. You know, I was in Hajj a few years ago, and a brother was talking to me. Some of you might have seen there's an interfaith panel I did a few years ago. It's literally called Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, a conversation. And I've done tons of those panels, dialogues and debates and things of that sort. For whatever reason, that one took off. And subhanAllah, today at 3 p.m., I actually gave shahada to a person who became exposed to Islam through that video. I can't tell you how many people, alhamdulillah, because of that video in particular, started learning about Islam and studying Islam, even though I thought it was just another run-of-the-mill interfaith dialogue. But alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And someone walked up to me and he said, you know, I didn't connect with what you said. He said, you mentioned the infallibility of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is ma'asum alayhi salatu wasalam, and that the prophets of Allah are ma'asumeen, they're infallible. But how can I connect with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam if he's ma'asum? How can I connect with him if he's infallible and I am not infallible? And the answer is that the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the supplications, are one of the elements of the answer. There are multiple ways to answer that question, by the way. But the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lend themselves both to the devout worshipper and to the rebellious transgressor. Like, you have in those du'as perfection from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an example of how to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you feel deficient, when you feel deficient. And there are two ways to feel deficient. One of them, you know, when it comes down to it, one of those ways to feel deficient is to recognize the expansion of your sins, how much you've committed of sayyi'at, and to be humbled by the thought of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown hilm with you, shown forbearance with you, despite this huge body of sins and sayyi'at that you've put forward, where you should have put forward hasanat. And so you come to the realization like, yeah, Allah, all these sins I committed, subhanAllah, abu'u laka bi ni'matika alayya wa abu'u bi dhanbi, you've descended upon me nothing but blessings, and I've ascended to you nothing but sin. And the humbling realization of how much I've committed of sin, and in the process of that humbling realization of how much I've committed of sin, I feel driven towards tawbah. The other side of that is one that is truly unlimited, which is the estimation of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala growing in your sight and coming to the realization, because that is an ever-expanding bubble of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah's greatness is unlimited. And so the more you become exposed to it, the more that you are gaining an estimation of that which you will never fully be able to estimate, the more that you are starting to comprehend that which you will never actually fully be able to comprehend. So the growth of Allah's glory in your sight, even if I was the most righteous person in the world, even if I was a malak, even if I was an angel that did nothing but worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatik, subhanaka, you know, we did not worship you the way that you deserve to be worshipped. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the day of judgment, when the mawazin are put forward, the scales are put forward, who would make the comment? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you were to put the heavens and the earth in those scales, lawasi'atum, they would encompass them both physically, wa lawazinatum, and they would weigh all of the details of the heavens and the earth in those scales. And those are the scales that we will be placed in with our deeds. And the Prophet ﷺ said that when those mawazin are set up, the angels, who don't have to worry about being put in the mawazin, nor were they capable of sinning, will be the ones to say, Subhanaka ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatik, we did not worship you the way that you deserved to be worshipped. what does this leave us to at the end of Ramadan? A complete acknowledgement that, Ya Allah, I did not achieve what I wanted to achieve. But Ya Allah, even if I would have achieved everything I wanted to achieve, I would have still had to depend on your mercy, because your glory would completely outweigh any type of ibadah I would have been able to put forward even in a perfect scenario. And so, Ya Allah, I'm depending on your forgiveness right now. I'm at the mercy of your forgiveness, as I always am. When I am devout and when I am deficient, I'm always at the mercy of your forgiveness. And so that's why, until the very last moment, Allahumma innaka afuwan kareemun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Oh, Allahumma innaka afuwan tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Both of them are authentic, that you say, Oh Allah, you are the forgiving one. You love to forgive, so forgive me. And when you say, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Oh, turner of hearts, turn my heart to you, or keep my heart always turned towards you. That is a dua for istiqamah, and we ask Allah for guidance and every time we recite Surah Al-Fatiha. And the Prophet ﷺ's most frequent dua was a dua for firmness. And Imam Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, Sayyidu Tabi'een, he used to always say, Allahumma anta rabbuna farzuqna al-istiqamah. Oh Allah, you are our Lord, so grant us istiqamah, grant us firmness. And so the only insert that I'll have tonight, inshallah ta'ala, because I'm sure that amongst the many mashayikh, bidnillahi ta'ala, you'll get beneficial advice, inshallah ta'ala, on how to continue forward, is ask Allah for the strength. Ask Allah for the enablement. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. And express to Allah, especially in that last hour of Ramadan, the last two nights of Ramadan, or that we have right now, and the last hour of Ramadan, before you get into Eid plans, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, accept me. Ya Allah, keep me firm. Ya Allah, keep me guided. Ya Allah, allow me to continue the good. And Ya Allah, allow me to relinquish the evil, that which I discontinued before Ramadan and that which unfortunately continued into Ramadan. Ya Allah, allow it all to be removed and to be expiated. I pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla accept from all of us on this 29th night, which could be Laylatul Qadr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be amongst those that observe Laylatul Qadr. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. And I appreciate the brothers and sisters at Miftah. And I want to really push to everyone, to impress upon everyone how important Miftah is in training the next generation of ulama and leaders. So please support this institution, inshallah, with your du'as and with your sadaqah. And they didn't even ask me to say that, by the way, but I'm telling you, please support this institution. It's a wonderful institution that the entire Muslim community has a vested interest in, because we want to see brilliant scholars produced, inshallah ta'ala, from this institution at the hands of beautiful, capable teachers like the ones that are sharing this program tonight. Mufti Abdul Wahab, Sheikh Abdullah, Mufti Abdul Rahman, the entire crew. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. JazakAllahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.